It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill and ran into the great doctor from Kansas. So good to see you.
Tony, great to be with you, and I can't wait to talk agriculture. I was born and raised in agriculture, a fifth-generation farm kid, and it just feels like I'm back home talking to one of my family members.
Well, and the reason I'm so excited about this is because you won an election, and you're back here for six more years, right?
Well, you know, actually, so I got four more years left. So we won 2 years ago. Pat Roberts retired, and I got some big boots to fill here. Now, you think about a farm bill. How do you think of a farm bill without thinking of Pat Roberts? He helped write five of them. And so we're looking forward to getting started on that, and I'll be going to Pat for some sage advice.
Let's talk about the farm bill now for a moment. And as we do, you just wrapped up the first farm bill hearing, and that one was focused on rural development. How big is rural development when we start talking about the farm bill?
Well, certainly it's a large percentage of it, and I talk about, you know, just how important agriculture is to the state of Kansas and why we need this rural development. Look, Kansas City, 20% of their economy is driven by agriculture, a large of Wichita. Those are our two biggest cities. So we need, it's just more expensive to get that last line of whatever it is. For my mom, when she was growing up on a dead-end road, it was getting electricity and water to them, which she got in eighth grade. But now it's getting that high-speed internet out there. You think about what does it take to have a rural community survive? And look, you know, they need a hospital, they need a grocery store, they need a community bank, they need a pharmacy, some of those types of things, but they need the infrastructure to use modern-day precision agriculture. You know, in Kansas, most people don't get this up here, we've been doing precision agriculture for at least 20 years. And, you know, not only does it allow us to use less inputs, but it decreases our environmental impact as well. So we need that high-speed internet, and that's why I'm glad we started off our first hearing on the farm bill was on rural development, but specifically, how can we make high-speed internet more accessible to our farmers and ranchers?
Glad you brought that up. There's been a lot of money put into this, and sometimes money can do a lot of good things, but have you found that we've had a good plan for how that money's being utilized?
I'm not at all satisfied, Tony. I was on the House side for 4 years, participated in the last farm bill, allocated billions of dollars to high-speed internet. But I feel like Kansas got very little of that. And there was duplications of services. I'm still not convinced the map is right. So it was great to have the White House here and talking with the Undersecretary about how can we implement this program more successfully. Why are we missing this middle mile? Why are we missing this last mile still? So we have a lot of improvement to do. You're right. It's not just throwing money at things. We need a very simple plan that we can execute perfectly.
Before we came on, we're kind of talking about Farm Bureau for just a moment. Kansas Farm Bureau, speaking of maps, has done a tremendous job in really mapping out the state. Is there a way for us to solve this issue?
Yeah, so Rich Feltz and Kansas Farm Bureau do an incredible job, and I guess Rich is getting ready to retire. We're going to miss his leadership, but continue looking forward to work with Kansas Farm Bureau. Truly the voice of agriculture there, American Farm Bureau up here, and yes, Farm Bureau led the way. But I describe high-speed internet much like roads and bridges. You never get them completed. That's always a cycling, and once you get them done, you've got to, you know, rebuild the bridge, repave the road, those types of things as well. And I think that's where we are with the internet. The technology is improving so quickly, and our need for technology, the amount of data we have to download for precision agriculture is just unbelievable. So we appreciate Kansas Farm Bureau's help, but we have to re-up those maps, and I still need to go back and put the pieces together. Why are we duplicating some services? Why didn't we get the middle mile put in? Why aren't we getting that last mile put in?
At the same time, you say it's a lot like a road that you end up with a pothole. You didn't expect it, but it happened. do we have the basic limits set where they need to be? In other words, if you set the limit at 25.3 or whatever it might be, have we already passed that by the time you build it out?
That's a great point. And certainly, you know, coming from the business world, we want to be thinking about the future. You know, do we buy yesterday's technology or tomorrow? But we need people that are experts in the industry. You know, my job up here as a senator is to say, this is a priority. Build these roads for the best and safest we can, the same way with the high-speed internet, is I need some experts to come in and say, this is what the future needs. Let's don't throw good money after bad money.
Okay, let's look at, and we're going to stick with the cost idea here, but let's now move it down to the farm and away from the broadband input cost. Those things have just been skyrocketing. Have you been watching it?
Well, I've been experiencing it. So, you know, our farms are still in operation, still involved and invested in agriculture myself. So certainly the number one concern of the Kansas farmer today is input cost, and that would be fertilizer and diesel. So let's think about why those have went up. Diesel prices, I think, you know, unfortunately, this administration has declared war on American energy. It's caused a decreased supply, and therefore the diesel prices have gone up actually, you know, triple from what they were just 2 years ago. So diesel prices are sky high. Fertilizer would be the next one that I would talk about. Why are fertilizer prices so high as well? Well, fertilizer, and the nitrogen-based fertilizers are dependent upon natural gas as both a substrate as well as an energy source. So that would be the biggest problem, certainly the Ukraine war, where 25-40% of fertilizers pass through the Black Sea right now. Suddenly that's disrupted, so we have China in Canada buying their potash, driving the price of that up. So we want to talk about solutions, Tony. And I think that we have made a huge effort the past 2 years in my office to be the fertilizer king up here. We are trying to understand fertilizer forward, backwards, and sideways. And we're introducing legislation that we think would help drive the price of fertilizer down. And we don't have to get really down in the weeds. We've worked with the administration trying to decrease the tariffs on fertilizers coming from Trinity and Toboggan. And then we're asking the administration to stop the tariff on fertilizers coming in from Morocco. But there's other things we can do. We can do things like work with the new technology, the new biophytotechnology, where we have plants that can basically grow their own fertilizers with microbes. I think there's the NEPA process. I'm sure your listeners are aware of what NEPA is and the EPA's impact on the making of fertilizers as well. So there's lots of things we can touch. People can go to our website, marshall.senate.gov, and get more information about how we're going to drive the price of fertilizer down.
One thing we can't legislate, though, is the weather. And the state has been dealing with some devastating drought. How are producers handling that at this point?
Well, it's tough times, and certainly Western Kansas is used to, we live in a drought. But this year the drought hit Southeast Kansas as well, and really the whole state. So certainly we cannot impact the weather, but we can. My goal is that not one drop of water ever leaves Kansas. So we need to be leading the world in how to be using water more conservatively. So, for instance, Dodge City reuses 100% of their water. Why aren't big urban centers reusing 100% of their water? I've been 3 visits to Israel. They've been doing this for decades now. So they can recycle all that water and use it for irrigation. I'm excited about the technology, autologous pivots program that they make this technology in Wichita, Israeli technology, they're making it in Wichita, where we're putting a monitor on the pivot, and as it goes around the pivot, we monitor how much water is in the soil. It's using radar technology. So we have to become the experts at water conservation. I remember I was on one of my first pheasant hunting trips with my uncle when we were driving out to Western Kansas to hunt pheasants, and he looked at me, he said, "Roger, someday water is going to be more valuable than gas." That was 40 years ago, and I kind of laughed. You know, gas was $1 a gallon, water was pretty much unlimited. But I think we're at that point right now. Our agriculture folks are doing an incredible job with conservation, but there's more out there.
It's so good to see you. Thanks for your time, your work. Hope you'll do this again with us sometime.
No, Tony, thanks for taking the effort to come up here. We appreciate your presence and helping us get the word out and communicate. You know, I think, again, what Pat Roberts said, when you get ready to farm, write a farm bill, the first thing you do is go sit on the tongue of the wagon with the farmers, and you help us do that. You help this line of communication. So we're going to be out there across the state over the next year listening to our producers, listening to the feedback that you're getting from you, from your folks as well. And once again, just ask people. They go to marshall.senate.gov. They can stay up to date on this farm bill.
It's the Honorable Dr. Roger Marshall. He represents Kansas, member of the Senate Ag Committee from Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.